Welcome, everyone. I'm Jeffrey Goodman, Director of Marketing and Development for the YMCA of Northwest Louisiana. We're here at 318 Latino Studios for Shreveport-Bossier, my city, my community, my home. And we have a super special guest today. Our guest is Jamon Turner. Jamon,
thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm great. You doing all right today?
Oh, it's a good day, yeah.
Well, appreciate you joining us. I warned you, my first question is massively long, so just hang in there with me. I know you do a lot of different things, but let's start here today. You once said the following. You said, we're a youth program. We host these really wild camps where kids get to kick loose, meet new friends. You know, city kids, country kids, merging, learning about each other. See, we're kind of like the superhero of camps. We learn about agricultural trades, horses, cattle, all sorts of that fun stuff, you know. We don't just do Western stuff. We go hiking, camping, fishing, kayaking, pretty much anything outdoors. See, we're the middleman for the kids who can't, who don't have access to these opportunities. We find them, we plug them in, we take them. So let's start by you telling me about the camp described above, and then we'll get into some of the other programs Just Believe offers.
All right. That camp is talking about what we call the Western Playground. In a sense, if you imagine kids on a playground, they're free. They're having a good time. They're intermingling with each other. They're making their own relationships. It's in a controlled setting amongst the playground. And you know, that's our goal, is to try to put kids in a place where they can learn new things outside of what's normal to their communities, you know, their households and stuff like that, but make it to where it's exciting. I've never been big on like traditional summer camps, you know, head to tail horse rides and stuff like that. You know, kids will do a lot more of the hard work, the labor, if you give them an opportunity to do that amongst themselves versus trying to facilitate that under such strict guidelines. So yeah, just, you know, set parameters, let them kick loose, let them do their own thing. And you can learn how to nurture a kid based on what, you know, he does in his free time. So it's been good. I like him.
Yeah, I love that. Well, your nonprofit, Just Believe, provides hands-on equine and agricultural education programs along with trade introduction for youth. So tell me, if you wouldn't mind, just how this all started.
Man, you ready? Okay. I rode bulls for a long time, professional rodeoed. And I think towards the middle of my career, the butt end of my career, I started to see the importance of, you know, being in one place and pouring into people. I thought I was doing this good work by, you know, talking and reaching and signing autographs and stuff. But, you know, there was nothing substantial. There was nothing that took root. So, you know, after an injury, at some point I decided like, hey, I wanted to invest a little bit more time into this. And I kind of just put my foot to the pedal. But the crazy thing is, was that that's not where it started. I'd been having this vision, and you know, it's not a dream. It's a vision. It wasn't at night. It would happen during the day sporadically every couple years. But like, I kept having the exact same vision year after, you know, every couple years of like, I don't know how to explain it, these different things, but like every time I would have the vision, one more piece to the puzzle would be there. But it's like, I've seen the whole thing already, but I couldn't tell you today what comes next. But the second that it happens, it's like, you ever seen That's So Raven?
No.
It's a show that used to come on Disney where this girl, she'd have these crazy visions, she'd snap out of it, and then she'd, you know, be able to do all this crazy stuff. But it was like that. I'd have these visions on stuff, and you know, I'd hold on to it, and a year later, next thing you know, what I saw in the vision was happening. It's not like manifestation, because it's not that I worked really hard at them. So towards the end of my career, I started realizing the things that I was putting my feet in were lining up with the vision. But I like I said, I forgot all about it until they come back. And then it's just, you know, over 10 years, I've watched the vision, little bits and little bits and little bits keep happening. And they're all in line with the things that I've been trying to put together with these camps. And man, I just, as I moved around so much rodeo and I've seen different demographics, I've seen the needs in different communities. And, you know, I've been able to fortunately live on both sides of the fences, whether it be the Western lifestyle or inner city lifestyle. I couldn't imagine I was here and went through and learned so much of that for no reason. So I figured out a way, you know, to make them work for themselves and, you know, be beneficial for, you know, several communities. And then that's how we started the Western Playground. And then as far as Just Believe itself, it transpired from all that, you know, the camps, the clinics, seeing that kids all over the United States had riding programs. But, you know, that then some point could be therapeutic, but I don't see how that's going to change your social status. I don't see how that's going to, you know, make you a better human being. It makes you feel good. But if I could tie all the things that go into horses into educational purposes, I felt like that was doing more justice. So then I had to like take a look at, well, how am I going to fund all this? As I started to figure out different ways to fund all this kind of stuff, it's like, why don't I teach exactly what I'm doing? Make something that serves the community. If you work in agriculture with food or you work with children, you'll always have a job. There will always be a need for food and there'll always be a need for children, you know? And then as I dug in more in that, I started realizing like, hey, you know, children better be a little bit more responsible with their food source or else one of these jobs is going to get depleted because, you know, if you don't control your own food source, you're always going to be under somebody else's thumb. And it's, man, they just, all these concepts kept overlapping. And I realized like, this is my everyday life. You know, how can I give this to other people? So, when I moved to Shreveport from where I was living at in West Texas, I ended up on 70th Canal riding some horses and met some boys and the rest is history. I've been rolling with it. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds amazing, everything I've read and everything I'm hearing today.
Thank you.
And this will kind of transition to some of the things you said. You once said the following: it takes $49,000 to keep a kid incarcerated all year long. You can literally run 32 kids through my program at that for 10 weeks. So talk to me a little about that quote, and perhaps you got into this a little bit, but perhaps some of the rehabilitative aspects of your program.
Okay. So initially that number was before all this inflation, before COVID. You know, I was approaching juvenile services with this program and I did a lot of studying about what it costs to keep a kid incarcerated. I know their numbers were up for how many kids they could have house and they were running out of room. But what I didn't see was so many programs that are going to get these kids into something that's going to be preventative measure. You know, there's a lot of dollar going out to what to do with the crime here, but there's not, I didn't see as a new person in Shreveport how those numbers were keeping kids out of the jail. Now I've found some sponsors around town that are, you know, awesome. So that number, sending these many kids through 10 weeks, that's like tripled. I mean, for that kind of money, you can send probably 100 kids through these programs and, you know, they can walk away with some kind of trade to where at the end of 6-12 week programs that we have, you know, or one of the 6 or 12 week programs that we have, they're employable. You know, even if it's working at a local stable or, you know, learning to power wash something, these are assets that, you know, you're teaching kids to put in their pockets. So, I might kind of be getting off of subject with that.
Off subject.
What was the second part of that you asked?
I said, talk to me a little about the quote and perhaps some of the rehabilitative aspects. So you were starting to get into
that. Those numbers were projected when I first started with juvenile services. But now a lot of the thing is like, instead of trying to get a bunch of different organizations to put money to help these kids get to these places, I found people that I can pay that are willing to spend a little time. And I think the money aspect that we're forking out comes with making things happen versus putting money into people who have the availability to be intentional and be present. That shifted my program too, when I started to see like, you know, for what it costs to do this, I can pay 10 other people and man, those 10 people can influence 10 more people versus me trying to make this and this happen with a certain dollar amount.
Give me an example. Like, put some specificity.
Okay. So for me to spend 10 grand to lease a facility for, 12 weeks and, you know, inside of that 10 grand, I'm also, paying for, you know, a horse riding program, but then I have to figure out ways to keep the kids busy. I've worked on my own place. I can use, a portion of that money and, have kids go to a different facility and learn a trade. It still takes up the same amount of time span, you know, being the fact that, you know, being in Louisiana, you can pretty much take horses everywhere as long as you clean up with them. I can run a lot of these same programs from a lot, you know. Let me go in depth a little bit more. So, okay, take this. I do an event in Oakland every year. Usually this is about a $50,000 event, okay? You can put $50,000 into a year-long program that surrounds the same after school sports or some of the same like wood shop classes and stuff like that, versus being able to host an event on a community lot that we use. It's in like an industrial park. And inside of this park, we have 10 different things, events, rodeo and Western based that kids have never been exposed to. So instead of spending money in a constant rotation, hoping that it keeps a kid's attention, you're essentially getting 15 other people to come teach a trade that these kids have never seen, give an experience with animals that these kids never come in contact with. They're still gonna be exposed to the same thing that they usually are after school every single day, because that's school. But at this point, you're looking at a kid who's 15, 16 years old, who's exploring the world. They have more digital availability than we've ever had. All you have to do is introduce it to them. Let them do the legwork yourself. So you're not spending near as much money in the same rotation. You're spending the same amount of money, getting the same effect as you would if you didn't spend it over here, but you're also upping what you would because it's something brand new for them. Am I making that clear?
Brand new and something that they possibly can then translate into an employable skill.
For sure, yeah. Everything we teach is not something, none of which you have to go to college for. Everything is something you can learn the trade, get a certification, and roll on. The thing is, like, if I can teach kids now how to do this kind of stuff, they can employ their community. It does no good to continue in this hustle and bustle of trying to make this job or a corporation so much bigger, but nobody in this corporation has to come spend money in your community. You can learn this same trade and then build something in your community, that build a business that serves the same thing, whether it's lawn maintenance, whether it's welding, whether it's any kind of communication, technological advancement, any of that kind of stuff can be done within a community that you can teach other people that look just like you or that are facing the same problems how to do that. We're not taught that. You know, we're taught how to make the system go around. We're taught how to work fast food jobs because, you know, but fast food's what's killing us. Learn how to garden. You know, then you have a community garden and you're hiring people to do that, but you're feeding everybody in your community. You know, not so much a community garden, but do you get my idea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope I answered that.
Yeah.
Man, I get excited and get on these tangents. Excuse me.
Oh, no, you're doing amazing things. So tell me about some of the other programs offered by Just Believe in addition to the things that we've talked about, because I know in preparing for today's discussion, and I've been on your website and I've read a lot about you, I've listened to other interviews with you, I know you do a lot, you offer a lot of different things.
Yeah, so some of which is we have a cattle production program that we're raising beef, some of which are going to go to the families, some of which is going to go towards funding or, you know, putting food in for Just Believe. So during the summertime, instead of us having to spend so much money in some of these bigger corporations for food, it's like, all right, we've produced our own beef, we're set for the year. We have what's called Poultry to the People, where we got a bunch of chickens that some me and some of my students have raised, literally just by filling out a piece of paper. Single moms, single dads, they have access to all the eggs they need. All they have to write down is like how many eggs they're taking. I know it's not a big contribution. Eggs aren't crazy expensive, but the knowledge that comes behind that, you know, the community gardens, we have outdoor, after school mentorship programs. We have an intern program where I take 3 interns a year. And literally I'm teaching the art of horse training. This is a big community for trail riding and stuff that like that goes. But I don't see a lot of money in the trail riding realm. So at some point it's fun, but it becomes a liability versus an asset. So my thing is like, take the same animal, you know, he's bred different, make him an asset. I got kids now who come out a couple days a week. They have a certain amount of chores that they stick to, but they all have one horse that they are assigned to. This is their riding horse and their lesson horse. Then they have another horse that they're assigned to that comes through my training program that we're teaching them, hey, the body mechanics of a horse. This is how a horse can move. This is what you can teach them. That serves two purposes. One, economic value. They get to see what that looks like when the horse comes in, how much money you make when you can send that horse off, and if that's something that is applicable to their life. I can do this for a living, or I'm not interested in it. Second of all, the mentorship aspect, it speaks to that because I put this curriculum together that speaks to all of the behaviors of a horse when they're in the beginning of training. Man, you would be like mind blown if you've seen how identical they are to a kid. So at the point where a kid starts learning to train a horse because he's coming for a mentorship program or an internship program, they're learning to speak to their own behaviors. So, you know, you got people who want to pour into programs like this because they feel good. Then you got people who want to pour in because they want tax-paying citizens. Like, this kid literally just opened the door to put himself in all of those pedestals. You know, this is a kid who's becoming a great citizen. He's self-aware. He has all these different attributes and patience, kindness, loveness, gentleness, fruits of the spirit, all of these different things, only because he spent so much time speaking a language that's unspoken as he's teaching a horse. Man, it's night and day just being able to watch these kids go from angry, frustrated, or even happy or too excited to you have to learn to be still and have a steady hand. Think about how that would transfer over to a kid's spending habits. You know, I'm not paying for games and all these little Nintendo stuff. I got 15-year-olds coming out asking me, hey, I want to save my money so I can buy more tools. Tell them all the time, I'll pay you more if you bring your own tools. I'll pay you right now, but if you show up with your own weed eater and you don't got to use mine and my gas, oh yeah, that's $10 more automatically. And they're literally hunting for more tools. It's a mind shift.
There's so many people you've impacted over the years through this. Give me one kid, I don't care who it is, just kind of walk me through who they were when you first put your hands around them or arms around them and who they ended up becoming.
I don't have to say their name, right?
No.
Okay, so there's one individual. So when I first got into doing this around Shreveport and I was seeing some of the difficulties, I stopped some of my other day jobs and I started substitute teaching just so I can get in with the school board, okay? It worked. It was gruesome. I wasn't a big fan of, you know, all the stuff that had to happen in the school system, but it is what it is. I was able to be there and make an impact on the kids that were in my vicinity. There was one kid that, man, used to give me the blues every single day in class. He was smart, but he was the class clown, you know. He was handsome, so all the girls wanted to talk to him all the time. And I remember probably for the first 2 months of teaching, I was just like, dude, I could offer you so much more, but I had to like put it there and leave it on the table. I've watched our relationship grow to a point to where he's came around and left. Came around and didn't want to do it anymore because he'd get mad at me and he left. But the thing is, like, I'm so close in age with them and I have something that nobody else has to offer. Like, they'll come back. You know, they don't all come back, don't get me wrong, but about 90% of them come back. And I remember the first time he left and didn't come around for 4 or 5 months and he called me back, picked it up like it was, you know, no big deal. Then he started riding bulls. He found out about my past career and decided he wanted to dive into that. And I think that he got to see the individuality in that. And that was a big push for him, you know, to step out and want to do something else. He started making his own friends in that. And then his friends would egg him on like, hey, we need to do this, we need to do that. So, but you know, you got to think, he still has to come back home to the same community he lives in that doesn't foster and support that. But you know, I could be in his ear all day, but those friends are what kept it going. So then it went to a place where like, okay, well, I don't just want to ride bulls. Now I want to be a stock contractor and I want to have a ranch and I want to, and it's like, bro, you grew up in City Grove. You don't want none of that. You ain't ever said you wanted none of that, but now you do. And I could see it because he was exposed to it. Now he's getting ready to graduate next year. And when I tell you, like, I know for a fact I could pick him up any day and count on him to do almost anything out of my barn. I've went from a place of like having a fuss and fight with him for not being, you know, self-aware or taking ownership for mistakes to where it's like now I've kind of had to tell him like, no, you're not going to take the blame for somebody else. Like it's your job to teach them what they did wrong. You don't have to scold them, you know? Yeah, man, I love this kid. I do. There's a couple of them like that, but I think this individual for sure, he goes to Woodlawn. He's a jock. Everybody, you know, knows who he is. But he's just such a well-mannered individual, and just seeing how his mentality is so separate from his community, you know, like he has no desire for the stuff that he sees on a regular basis, you know, with all of his friends and stuff. His mindset is like, what can I do to get me somewhere 5 years from now? I don't know high schoolers that think like that, you know. I got one more. Yeah, so there's another kid who kind of the same thing. He'd go, he'd come, and it's got to a place now to where I told him, I'm not paying you to help me train horses. That's what I do for a living. I train horses, but I told him, I'm not paying you until you get through 10 horses. My sole purpose behind this was because he was so inconsistent. It takes a long time to train to get through 10 horses, you know, if you only get one at a time. So this has held him in here for a while, and he's coming up on about 6 right now. But I've seen so much progress with him, you know, and and another part of this, both of these boys, I take them on trips. But the thing is, like, everybody who signs up with me and that's like in part of this intern program, they have to fill out like these me cards. And these me cards talk about who they are, what their aspirations are, where they're at in school, what they accomplished, things like that. But then they also have to design their own business card. I go to like meetings and like dinners and stuff like this all the time. And I'm like, I'm the only one who's having kids tagging along, but all of my kids are so well spoken. And this last year, he's been passing out business cards. Some of the relationships that I have training horses, he's kind of snuck his little business card in there and backdoored it. And it's like now, this past week, he's got two contracts signed to train his first two horses. I mean, I'm going to help him, but you know, that's $1,000 for a 14-year-old kid. You know, no 14-year-old kid's making money like that. And it's all separate from me. Like, I have nothing to do with it. Only thing he's doing is keeping the horses at my house. So to see this kid go from like a little jerk to be around to like, he's so empowered to make his own money, to make it the right way, to save and to invest in, you know, doing it again. He told me, first thing I'm gonna buy is buy another saddle. Why? So I don't gotta use yours so I can make more money. Just like, really? All right, that's a good idea though. You know, so it's really, oh man. You can tell I get excited about it, but these kids, like just seeing them make better decisions 24/7 only because it's in front of them. They know like, hey, I can make it.
So yeah. Let me, I forget exactly what you said, but it was beautiful. You said something along the lines of this kid's mentality is so different than his community's.
Mm-hmm.
So are those kids that you transform, how do they then the next step is how do they transform the people around them, or how do they transform their community, or how do they start to change the mentality of their community? Like, how do you see that working, or what do you?
So initially this started because I'd just be taking horses all through the city. I had a little blue trailer. I'd go to like Hattie Perry Park, and like all these kids would come, oh, there's to do with the horses, you know, but there would be a select few kids who hung out with me on a regular. So all of a sudden they were the plug for the guy with the horses. Oh, you want to call the guy with the horses, tell him to come today. You know, they had to go through these three or four kids to get me into town. Now I look at it that some of these boys have stuck around and they know so much now that it's like we have, you get a mini. I got little kids who come around all the time and they're like always wanting to have sleepovers, camp outside, climb all over these bigger kids. So I keep speaking to them like, hey, one, you got to be super mindful of how you conduct yourself because they're watching you. But second of all, like, how can you do this? How can you do the same thing that I'm doing? What I'll do is I'll give everybody a job. Okay. Everybody at the barn has a job, all the older kids. And I will tell them, hey, this job pays $50. I'm paying you $50. If you want to hire two little kids, you can hire two little kids, but you're responsible. If the job's not done right, you don't get paid. That's a shift in them. You know, you teach a kid how to do something, the first thing he wants to do is teach another kid something. You teach a kid how to like employ somebody, the first thing they want to do is, all right, well, I'm going to, you know, some of them, they look at it like, oh, well, I'll have the little kids do it. And then they come back and it's like, man, you've been here for 5 hours because you should have just done it yourself. But then they also learn how to manage things. And I foresee that in this next 5 or 6 years, 10 years, I'll be to the point to where like, I'm like my mentor's age in 10 years, you know, but I'll need somebody that's my age to stand in the gap. And the thing is, as long as they know the mission statement for Just Believe and what we stand on, when they start to take ownership and prioritize certain things personally, they're not going to let that be corrupted because it's dear to them. You know, when they start to see the transformation of, hey, this was my little, he was not able to do this, this, or this. And now 6 months later, he can ride rope. I can take him to go day work. When they start to see the kids that they're working with, speak to those behaviors and act different, it's empowering for them. You know, I think that is like top tier, you know, put an S on your chest. I'm doing the right thing. I can't see. Yeah. I'm hopeful for it. I think it's going to work like that, but, that's the mission to teach more kids now how to be a leader in this small area, you know. And it's just the rodeo world, there's the cowboy world, there's a lot in Shreveport outside of that. But the thing is, if they can be faithful with this small little piece of this, you know, it'd be easier for them to be faithful with the bigger stuff later on. And then when, you know, more jobs, or it's like, hey, do you want to take over this place? You know, you're 21 years old right now. Would you like to manage this one? Why go start something else? I have a roster of people that I could pick from.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So I asked the guest I had last week this same exact question I'm going to ask you. So will you share a story of a preconception you had or a gap in understanding or awareness that you had that's been changed because of all your time working with Just Believe?
Let me think on this for a second. Ask that one more time.
Yes. So basically, is there something you thought about our community or thought about the people in our community that was shifted or transformed once you got into your work with Just Believe? And can you share a story around that? You thought something was one way and you realized it's very different once you got in there in the trenches and started doing the work you do day in, day out.
For sure. You hear about Shreveport's crime day in and day out here. And it's hard because that's not all of Shreveport, you know? I think that when I first moved here, I got a little discouraged because I was meeting a lot of people who talked a big game, or, you know, they had organizations that, you know, if you look at them on paper, it looks like they're doing these great things. But, you know, when you start spending time with them, you could tell it wasn't the heart. It was a heart issue, you know. And I remember being at Hattie Perry Park with a handful of horses, and some boys from some different neighborhoods came and met at the park, started fighting, started shooting. And I remember at that point, I was kind of just like, man, I'm over this place, you know, because I couldn't figure out how to make this happen. And oddly enough, Chris Giordano was the only person I went and talked to him at the fairgrounds, was like, hey, dude, this is what I need to do. He knew what my financial situation looked like. And that was probably the first person to shed light on this program in like this kind of manner. This is before any of the sponsors showed up, before I had a consistent group of kids. This is like when I was just, hey, I have this idea, I want to run this, but I need a place to do it so that the city will work with me. Yeah, he opened up the horse barn and I had my first 10-week program there. That was hands down the biggest shift that I've had in how I approach my relationships here and my expectations. Man, I'll be forever grateful for that, because that catapulted this thing. I think it gave a lot of awareness, you know, for the community, it being so close. Because you got to think, man, I don't live in Shreveport. I live 15 miles outside of Shreveport. So I have to haul horses all the way to town. You know, parents have a hard time getting their kids out there. But he was the only person that I could think of in Shreveport city limits who was like, hey, use this place. And it's so well known. That's a big risk. He didn't know me, you know, but to see him step out on faith and be brave enough to say like, all right, I'll let you try this, and it be fruitful. And, you know, every year he's allowed me to come back. That was a big moment for me. You know, I remember at the time, you know, calling everybody like, hey, I got my first contract, you know, but I was excited, but I was frustrated because I had to do so much to get it. So many people told me, no, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And one person was like, all right, just try it. And look at it now. It's working, you know? Yeah. That's a big one.
For sure. Those were my set questions. But as I told you before we started, you have all the time in the world. Are there other things you want to share or mention that I didn't touch on?
Yeah. Man, I want to. Okay, so you work with the YMCA. As a coordinator for the YMCA, a big organization that's worldwide, and you guys have places all throughout Shreveport. How do you see an equine program being beneficial to the community? Like how do you feel like that could positively or negatively impact, you know, what you do or the kids you serve?
Certainly can't negatively. There's no negative. It's just a matter of figuring it out. So, you know, finding a space for it, finding a way to do it and understanding it more, like with anything we do that's new, just trying to put our heads together and say, you know, educate us. Tell us how this works and let's see if we can make it work.
Yeah. That's not something you've ever done before though.
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
Not since I've been there.
I like that. 2024. I think I get curious about a lot of different organizations and businesses in town that if they had the time, space, or the availability to do stuff like this, what would limit them from wanting to? And I guess I ask that so that I can, you know, do all the back work and try to figure out, okay, if this is your worry or if this is a problem, what can, you know, I figure out so I can rebring this idea to you with a solution to those problems and see if maybe we're open to it. There's a lot of land around town that, you know, I don't really know how to access. I know a lot of these companies have land banks and stuff like that I've been learning. But I think one of the hardest things up until lately I've been finding is that, you know, if it's out of sight, out of mind, if your kids don't go to this school district, your kids don't, you know, aren't involved in this, or if they're not around this type of crowd or crime on a regular, it's like, okay, well, that's good that you're doing that, but, you know, that's good for these kids, but, you know, that doesn't really affect me. It's hard to put yourself in a place of servitude like that, you know? So yeah, I look at some of these business owners, and outside of the fact of like, hey, if you knew for a fact you could teach a set of kids some trades that would in turn allow them to teach more people, and that could make your workplace safer, your house or your living situation safer, the areas where your kids hung out safer, like at what point would you, you know, say, okay, I can do more. I can't do it, or I can't do more than that. You know, like where do you draw those lines as business owners? Everything I've known in business has just been like servitude. We talk, you know, this book here, this little red book is selling. I think finding areas and ways to pitch this kind of thing to different businesses, man, I could use some counsel on that. So if you have any advice on, you know, like if I was to bring that to YMCA, what would you expect me to ask you or to bring or say, about this program? Like, how would you expect me to pitch that?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would just need you to kind of pitch it once to me and then sort of step back and say, you know, start just asking you questions. I mean, that's the way I work, is just, hey, educate me. I don't know anything. So, understand that you're talking to someone who knows little to nothing about this. So just, you know, take my hand and walk me through it.
Okay. So, my name is Jamon Turner, and I would like to start a equine based program with the YMCAs. You have any questions?
Yeah.
I get so, you, but yeah, that's simple, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, I would say, you know, well, you know, who do you serve? How much land do you need? What ages are you interested in? Is this a summer program? Is this a weekend program? What sort of bandwidth do you need from the YMCA to oversee or manage this? Or is this something that, you know, is turnkey? I mean, you handle it all. So just, you know, really starting to kind of get in the weeds with you and figuring out what does this look like and how does it work? And I'm not the program director at the Y. I mean, we have someone who does this better than I do. But for instance, I've been there almost 5 years. And in those 5 years, we started a program for people with Parkinson's, and we started a cancer recovery program. And we don't have anyone with the formal title program director, but, you know, she saw that there was a need for that in our community, that there was a gap and there weren't enough people offering those types of services for that community. And so, you know, how do we do that and can we do it? And so, I mean, that's kind of how we constantly work at the Y, is just, you know, can we do more? And if so, where should we focus those energies?
For sure. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something we didn't talk about, was like, who do I serve, you know, ages and stuff like that.
Please.
Yeah. So we have smaller kids programs, you know, fifth, sixth grade on up. But right now, a lot of our program is geared towards getting teenagers headed a different direction, and more so in leadership positions. We do a lot with younger kids, elementary school kids. We do a lot, but most of that stuff is, like you said, turnkey. It's pretty boom, 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 just getting them in a rotation, teaching them how to do it so that they know all of the parameters. So when they turn 11, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, it's like, okay, they're already rocking with the program. Man, we serve every demographic. I got, you know, kids from Benton to Ringgold to Mansfield, all through Shreveport. You know, there's really no set demographic of kids that come. It's more so, no, ethnicity-wise, there's no demographic. I think when we talk about needs, a lot of the same needs are still there. I even get kids who are like super adventurous and that need something else to do, like hardwired for fun, but they don't know how to like plug that in the right places. I get a lot of kids who are, you know, sometimes having behavioral issues. I have some kids who are just excellent all the way around with behavior, school, everything, but they need something that's for them. You know, I have a lot of kids who come from families with a lot of brothers and sisters. So horses is something that's always pretty, you know, individualized. And that seems like it'd be a big group of kids too, of all the kids who just, they come because they need something for themselves.
And who maybe haven't found it in a sport or a musical instrument or some other hobby, who haven't found like that thing that they excel at or that.
Exactly. And you know, I get kids that come that they don't like horses. They don't like hanging out with horses, but they like hanging out with their friends. They like all the games. They like the Western play days that we have at the house. They like trades. I got one kid who will not touch a horse to save his life. But if you pull out some rods and a welder, he is going to be glued for hours. You know, he'll try to make anything. I got kids the same way. They don't want to mess with horses. They don't want to brush horses. They got allergies. But when it comes to like building stuff around the house, they show up, hey, I want to help out with that project, you know. And I use those kind of kids, you know, as like a learning lesson for everybody else. Like, he's not asking for anything from this program. He's solely coming to give, to donate his time, to donate the expertise that he's learning. You know, every time he comes out, he comes and puts that back. So some of those other kids who they come to ride horses, they get to look at that kid and be like, oh, well, you know, he doesn't really want anything, but you know, he shows up and it's like a brotherhood. It's really neat to watch for sure.
Well, I think you're doing amazing work, and tell people before we wrap up, just people that have listened and heard a little bit of your story, the best way to learn more about your services or to get in touch with you and those types of things.
For sure. So we have a website. It's justbelievetraining.com. You can send inquiries through there about our program. You can sign your kids up for all of the things that we have throughout the summer, all of our Western playgrounds. There's a list of all the event dates coming up. And I meant to mention, we have this deal that we just kicked off with Community Renewal and some other organizations called Teacher Creature. This is a 12-week course where it's strictly training horses and learning a trade. So for the first, we'll have three horses that the kids go through. And every 4 weeks, we'll train a new horse. For the first 4 weeks, we had a little mare we were working with. And we were working on carpentry classes. Kids built planters. They're building some cutting boards. For the second 4 week, which is a culinary class, we have some people around town that are donating their time. They're going to come teach kids how to cook over an open fire. So all the cutting boards that they're breaking down, polishing, they're going to be able to utilize those for that. We'll have another horse that we use for the second 4 weeks. And then the last 4 weeks, we'll have our last horse, but it will be an outdoor class. So everything that we had for the culinary class, building fires. We're going to have this big camp out where we'll probably go down to Winfield. We'll take a handful of kids down there. And this is just all outdoor, how to make a tent out of a tarp. You know, we're going to take the minimal supplies that we need to and survive for 2 days. We have programs like that you guys can sign up for, you know, that people can sign up for. And that's all on our website, Facebook page and Instagram page, Just Believe Youth. Our email is justbelievetraining@gmail.com. Feel free to send me an email. Ask me all the questions. If I don't get to it, one of the secretaries will. But we'll get back to you pretty quick. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jamon. So, appreciate all the amazing work you're doing. Appreciate you making the time to be here. And I'm going to come out and see you one day because I'm just so fascinated with what you're doing. And I need to put my hands on it, my eyes on it. So
come on a Thursday.
On a Thursday?
On Thursday, we have this class, the Teacher Creature class. It'd be excellent little intro for you to see exactly like the small, like a small capacity of what we do like during these bigger camps.
What times on Thursday?
They start from 5:30 to 7:30.
Okay.
Yeah, so today.
And you have one today?
Yeah. I do, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
No problem.
Appreciate you.